So welcome to the Thursday edition of the Don Cherry's Grapevine podcast. And Dad, last week it was known that one of your buddies, Larry Walker, is the second Canadian into the...
Had to be a superstar to do it.
Is in the Baseball Hall of Fame. Only one other Canadian, Fergie Jenkins, was in.
Yeah, you know, Fergie, I remember him on, boy, he was a big guy. He's about 6'4", eh?
Yeah, well, we had him on the Grapevine Show in 1982, and he pitched one more year after that.
Yeah, I think he's from Chatham.
He's from Chatham, Ontario, and I remember on the Grapevine Show, he was like 6'2", 6'3".
He was the biggest guy we ever had on, and I just have a write up here about him, and I'd just like to say it. And if people that don't know Fergie Jenkins, he played 19 years in baseball. He had 284 wins. He had 3,000 strikeouts. 6 years he had 20 or more wins. And boy, he was, 6'5". He had 3 All Stars. He won the Cy Young, which is the best pitcher. And that year, I think he won 24 games. He had an ERA 2.77. And he averaged 7 strikeouts per game. He was voted in the Hall of Fame in 1981. I think with Rod Carew, a great hitter, and a great pitcher, Gaylord Perry, spitball. He used to.
We'll get that clip. He on the Grapevine Show, you asked him about. The funny thing is, you asked him about Gaylord Perry.
I did,
and he got elected into the Hall of Fame with Gaylord Perry like 15 years later. And
he was a spitball.
And he goes
talk about cheating.
Yeah, he talks how Gaylord Perry cheated.
It's a little different. Gaylord Perry cheated. He had to be pretty smart, you know, but the...
Yeah,
it's... So is there a good cheating?
Yeah, there's good cheating, and there's... That isn't really cheating like the guys now.
No, like the Astros, that was cheating.
Yeah,
They crossed the line there, but Gaylord, he was trying to get an edge, trying to get
an edge.
Oh, that's a good way
of putting it. We call that an edge.
Trying to get an advantage.
That sounds better.
But I'll dig up that clip one time, and it's amazing how he said Gaylord Perry... doctored the ball.
I didn't know. Yeah, a little bit. Anyhow, we have a great clip and of Fergie Jenkins, and I just think they're wonderful, these clips.
Yeah, this is from the Grapevine Show back in 1982.
Fergie, good to have you here, boy.
Thanks, Don.
Boy. I'll tell you, it's great when you're watching those American stations and they say, Fergie Jenkins from Canada. I just love it. And Chatham, Ontario, it really does us good. And, you know, most guys in baseball, Terry Poole and a few others, they don't come back to Canada. You come back every year. How come?
Well, I think basically because when I first signed in 1962, I almost got drafted to go to Vietnam. See, I took a 12-month visa, and I did the wrong thing. It should have basically just been 10 months. Yeah. And the Canadian government kind of made a little stink about them trying to draft me. They wanted to classify me 1Y and then 1A, and I'd have been in Vietnam in 1962.
Ooh, that'd have been nice. So, you'd been throwing hand grenades instead of baseball. You know, the toughest thing... I think in sports, and you know, everybody asks me, what do you think? And I'm on talk show. The toughest thing I think would be in sports, the bases are loaded. The count's 2-2, and you put one, and there's 2 out, and you put one right down the middle, and the guy calls it a ball. How do you ever get yourself back together? I couldn't. I'm mad watching it on TV. What do you say to yourself?
I generally call the umpire Ray, and he says, no, my name's not Ray, it's Dale. And I said, no, it's Ray Charles. Because if you blow a pitch like that, there's got to be something wrong.
Oh, I blow up on TV watches. Who was your toughest out?
Fellas playing right now, Pete Rose. He's by far probably the best hitter in baseball right now. Carl Yastrzemski, I played in the American League, was very tough. Mays, Aaron, Rusty Staub, who's now with the Mets, who just missed tying a pinch hitting record just this past season. There's been a bunch. You know, there's guys that I broke in with, Morgan, Lee May, Bill Freehan, Al Kaline. Well, Al Kaline's retired, but there's a few guys still playing in the age of 40, and I think this is the only sport where you can play, where your athletic ability has given you the opportunity to play
up here
into your 40s, too, using your head.
DH in baseball now, what do you think of it as a pitcher?
Well, it hurts the pitcher. You have to face 9 good hitters, and there's no cripple like the pitching to the pitcher in the lineup. And I think it keeps the older players or the fellas that have cut short a lot of things that they do in the field, keeps them in the game a little longer. I've been very lucky in baseball. I've won 20 games 6 years in a row. That's quite a record playing in a small ballpark. And I won the Canadian Athlete of the Year
four times.
Yeah.
So Dad Larry Walker this year, he was inducted into the Hall of Fame. It was 10 years. This was his last chance, because people don't know that once you're eligible to get into the Hall of Fame in baseball, you have 10 years to get in. And if you're not in after 10 years, that's it. You're not eligible anymore.
So I mean, that is unbelievable.
Good thing the NHL isn't like that.
Yeah. Yeah. A few guys not get in. But I'll tell you one thing. You have to remember I said earlier, you have to be a superstar.
No, do you think he
had Maple Ridge, he comes from BC.
Do you think he had to wait because he was Canadian?
There is no doubt about it. Wait till I wrote this down. You tell me he shouldn't have been in earlier. He signed for $1,500 with the Expos. He was 17 years old, and he never made it to the Expos till he was 22. You know, in hockey, if you don't make it by your 18, you're done. Any 18, he played five seasons with the Expos. I guess he's going to wear the Denver hat, eh? I thought he'd wear the Expo hat, but I guess all is, anyhow, he's going to wear the Denver hat. In five seasons with the Expos, and then he signed a big deal, and then he made some money. Four-year deal, Rockies, he made $22 million. I saw his house on TV, just an ordinary little house. I mean,
in baseball, that's nothing now.
Holy
that's
smokes.
Pocket change. The guys are signing for $150 million contracts.
That's a lot of money, though, $22 million. So he had batting average, I think, at .322. 1997, he's the MVP at 49 home runs. 130 runs batted in. He had three batting titles, and he ended up his whole season, and well, not his whole year, he ended up 383 homers, and he had a lifetime batting average of .313, which is unbelievable. Uh-huh. But the guy, I guess, they said that he didn't make the Hall of Fame is because most of it was, most of what he did, his home run heroes and all that there, was done in Denver, and the air is so thin out there that the ball carries pretty good. But they don't say that he won seven Golden Gloves titles. I mean, if he had the air had nothing to do with all those Golden Gloves he won.
No, in the one thing that, and then we found this out when we were in Denver, especially with Blue, is that they say if you play in that high altitude, it shortens your career because it's harder for your body to recover in the higher altitude.
Well, I could tell about Blue is I took Blue for a walk, and I remember out there, and she just couldn't make it. I mean, she just laid down and was panting on the, and after.
Did you see any difference with the hockey players in their breathing or, you know?
I already asked him, I did.
No.
That was our goalie. Yeah. I remember the very first day I flipped it, you know, and Hardy asked him, this is a true story. I flipped the puck from the red line. And I, you know, what happens is the breakout play, the goalie gets the puck, gives it to the defenseman, he puts it up the winger and out. That's what they practice all the time. So I flipped it in and I scored. And I said, I got home, Rose. I said, Rose, don't unpack. I says, because we're not going to stay here long if he keeps this goalie.
Well, I remember you came home from the first day of training camp and I said, how'd it go, Dad? He says, either we have the greatest goal scorers in the history of the National Hockey League or we're in a lot of trouble in goal. That's what you said.
Did I say that?
Yeah, I remember you saying that. And I said, and he goes, and I don't think we have the greatest goal scorers. So.
No.
So we'll go back to Larry Walker.
So
though.
Didn't you and Ron meet Larry Walker at one point?
We met Larry Walker. And, you know, we were out in Denver, and I really love baseball. I could have actually, when I was young, I could have played Fort Pierce. Which is a ball when I was 16 years old. Well, I'm getting off on another tangent, but anyhow, you should say.
I found the one thing interesting. You said you were an outfielder, right?
I was an outfielder. I played center field, and I was asked by the Dodgers to go to Welland, and they had they had scouts all over. So I went to Welland. Boy, beautiful park. I mean, it was gorgeous, a little gem back there, and I could run. They had Americans up there from Buffalo and that. I could run, I could field, I could hit better. So I never, Spike Garnish and Greg Malevi were the two scores. I never forgot them. And I was a pretty good hockey player back then. won the Memorial Cup after. So anyhow, so I had a meeting with them, and I said, what do you think, I should go baseball, or do you think I should go hockey as well? He says, I think you can make AAA, the one guy, Spark guy, said to me. He said, I think you can make, he says, but you'll never make the you'll never make the big time. And I says, why? He says, be your arm. And I noticed the Americans could really, I mean, Larry Walker, I mean, he could
really throw.
Boy, he was just a strike. And I said, well, you know, my arm didn't seem that bad. He says, you know how it's when you throw from the outfield and it skips to the catcher? He says, yours didn't skip. And he says,
but you told me that your dad warned you that you were fooling around.
Yeah.
Yeah, and didn't the Boston Bruins, when you were property of them when you were young, say, don't play baseball
in the
summer?
No, I don't want to get to that one. That was bad. But my dad told me, my brother Richard and I used to fool around out the back, and we used to throw curveballs all the time. It looked good up there. And my dad used to say, you know, you should never do that. He says, you're going to hurt your arm. And second of all, he says, you'll get in, when you pick up the ball, you'll have that grip and you won't have a good zinging. So my dad knew right off the bat. Now, oh no. Okay, now, never mind. That's how I loved hockey. I love baseball.
Yeah. So get in. You went and you went, saw Larry Walker and called.
So anyhow.
You and Ron.
Ron and I. So we were sitting way up in the stands. We asked the guy if we could get there early to see them warm up and everything. So we were sitting way up in the stands. And Larry, he saw us sitting there and he knew us from hockey, eh? And he said, come on down. Oh, no, no, we don't want, you know, no, come on down. So we go down and we shake hands with him. He says, come on, sit on the bench. Oh, no, we can't sit on the bench day of the game. They were playing that night. Come on, he said, don't be silly. He says, this is not like hockey. And he says, we have it easy here. Take it easy. So we're sitting on the bench. We're all nervous and everything. And the guys are going and hitting the ball and all that. Come on in the dressing room. Oh, no, we can't go in the dressing room. Are you kidding? Come on. So we go in the dressing room. It's the biggest dressing room you've ever seen in your life. I guess they call it the locker room. And the first room you go in, I'm telling you, it had to be 50 feet long. It was like the Last Supper. It was, you never saw so much food in all your life. So you buy that. And we came to the batting cage. And they had one room to warm up for the batting. And they had a machine that, but you know, so he said, well, take a few hits. And so I said to myself, I'm going to get the lay of the land here, not like Ron. And Ron grabs the bat. He was all sweaty, you know, I mean, Larry Walker standing there. And he swings the bat, bing, bang, zing, back around the bat. The bat come out of his hands, went all over the wall.
Oh, how embarrassing.
Oh, and he was so embarrassed. Oh. So now I pick it up and I can see you have to shorten up. And just kind of hit.
So you let Ron go first just to get the lay.
Yeah,
of the land.
He's a stupid guy. So anyhow, and the bat went all over the place. So now we go through, we get through that, and we go in the back, and there's a great big swimming pool, beautiful swimming pool. And the pitcher that day, he's going to pitch, and he's just kind of walking around in it. And I never forgot Larry, how friendly he was and everything like that.
Was he a big guy?
Oh, he was a big guy, 6 foot three. He wasn't as big as Fergie Jenkins, but he was like a powerful.
Because it's funny, he stole a lot of bases. And usually those guys that steal bases are like 5'10". And he's 6'3", and he stole quite a few bases.
He could run, he could hit, he could do everything. And to think that he had to wait 10 years, and there's no doubt that he had to wait 10 years. If this Ed had been an American, there's no doubt about it. You had a thing, there was only four guys ahead of him.
I don't know baseball stats that much, but there was like three stats that they compared to great guys. It was like
Babe Ruth
was number one, Joe DiMaggio was two, Mickey Mantle was three, and I think he was four.
Willie Mays was in there too. Yeah. But anyhow, there's no doubt in my mind that because he was a Canadian, he had to wait the 10 years. There's only three. Actually, Bob Elliott is a sports writer. He's in it too.
That's right.
And that is even more amazing than anything that Bob Elliott, that he's in it too. I mean, that's unbelievable. A Canadian sports writer in the Hall of Fame.
Baseball Hall of Fame.
And
yeah.
He was picked the best writer. So he must have been pretty good.
Now, Dad, didn't you at one time throw the first pitch in of the Blue Jay game?
Yeah.
Were you nervous about that, I bet, eh?
I never forget, it was the Boston.
Well, kind of set it up how it all started.
Right.
Was that the fans had to vote in the third baseman. And I forget who the third baseman was leading. And he, I mean, he couldn't hold John Donaldson's glove.
No.
This guy. And I remember you got a little cardboard thing and wrote down where to vote.
Like, yeah.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
And Luba got mad. She was saying, don't do it because you're going to get in trouble.
Yeah. And I held it up and I said, this guy can't hold a candle to Josh Donaldson and he's going to win. And he was winning at the time. He had double the votes.
Well, yeah.
And I forget the guy's name. It doesn't matter. So anyhow,
Josh set a record.
14 million
votes.
Canada voted 14 million. And I think the guys that win it now, the tops are like 2 million, 3 million. It was 14 million. And
so he got invited to, so he got to start the All-Star game.
Yeah.
And then the Jays for the appreciation asked you to come out and throw the first pitch
against
on Canada Day
Boston
against
Red
the Red Sox.
Sox.
Oh, my
the Red
goodness.
Sox. And
that this is being televised back to Boston,
I've never been so nervous in all my life. I mean, I was standing there and the national anthem was on.
You and I practiced.
Oh, I remember you and Tim practicing across the street.
So we realized what you had to do was kind of throw it high.
I had to throw it high, but I couldn't throw it too high. We looked stupid. But and so everybody else, if you've noticed that everybody else, when they throw, they're 12 feet in front of the thing. And I said, no, I'm going to throw from the regular. And
from the mound. Oh, so a lot of the people that do the first pitch.
Well, they're 12 feet in.
But you shot it. You pitched it right from the mound.
Yeah, like a dummy. And, I was so nervous. I'll never forget that. And they're playing the national anthem and all that stuff.
Well,
so
before it was kind of interesting. We went in and we we met the umpires.
Yeah, the umpires, they knew me. They were all from Boston. And so I had a Sharpie. They wanted me to sign the balls. They had a whole thing of balls there. And baseballs. And I went to sign with my Sharpie. And they said, no, when you do it properly, you only sign baseball with a ballpoint pen. I mean, it was unbelievable. And I said, well, no, the Sharpie's got it. He said, no, don't. Just sign with a ballpoint pen. And so anyhow, I signed all the balls for the umpires. And they had a little room. You can't believe how size the room. They had a little wee room and they were eating
pizza.
Well,
they must have had 200. I guess they looked, they checked the balls or something with them.
Yeah, and they rub it down. They rub them down.
They must have had 200 baseballs.
Yeah, they rub it down with some mud. There was some mud in there and everything. And you see the little room they have. It's like smallest room you'd ever saw. They were eating pizza. Anyhow, so now I'm out there in his national anthem and I hurt my shoulder. I tell you, I make an excuse here for throwing it. I went on a cart, and you know how the soldiers bring out that big flag? Well, there had to be 100 soldiers, and they were all lined up. So one of them stuck out their hand, so I stuck, slap it. And 100 of them going by kept hitting my hands. Holy smokes, did it hurt. So anyhow, I get out in the front, and I am nervous. I'm telling you, I've never been so nervous in my life. I mean, I got to look like a dummy, the people going back to Boston and the whole deal and everything like that. So I get out there, and Josh Donaldson, he's the catcher. He's going to be the catcher because because of the voting and that. And he says, I'll make you look good. And I'm thinking, how can the catcher make me look good? And what he did, as soon as I let the ball go, he ran out towards, and I hate to say it, folks, it bounced. And he got it before it made the first bounce. And so I look good. He made me look good.
Yeah, as soon as you started to throw it, he got out of the crouch and you just started walking towards the mound, picked up the ball, and kept going.
Yeah.
So it looked like you threw the ball perfectly.
Yeah, and I didn't, but he did. And boy, I'll tell you, he signed it. And it was...
I think because I was with you, and I think the funny thing was after that was the players run on the field.
Yeah, and then they were running.
And Jose Bautista.
Oh, is that Jose Bautista, as he ran by... He says, yeah, that was pretty good, Graves. He says, now get us a pitcher.
Yeah, he says, he goes, great job getting Josh on the All-Star game. Now go get us a pitcher.
I couldn't get him a pitcher. But I'll tell you, boy, Josh Donaldson, he's just signed a big contract, and he did make me look good.